Texas is all about the baby. Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. It's all about the baby. Giving all praises to God, to Deacon Steele, who's joining me today in the pulpit, to the deacons, officers, the members, our guests, family, and friends. We are grateful that the Lord has allowed us to come together, that we may worship and recognize that it is about the baby. You can get caught up in the busyness of this world and forget and think that it's about credit and debt. It's about sales and times and stores. But we pause in this service to remind each and every one of you, it's all about the baby. Amen. Want to thank those who lit our Advent candle. Want to thank the handbell choir, especially the arrangement. Amen. The arrangement was great, but the playing was better. We just want to say it like that. We'll just say it like that. But we are grateful that the Lord has allowed us to share with some of his joy. Saying joy to the world, we're grateful that we can have some of that joy. We would like to call your attention once again, the fourth time and the last time this month, to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Luke, these words are recorded. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We read into your hearing Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we would like to use as a subject angelic musical. Angelic musicale. Thank you, Ursus. Thank you. This month, we have been engaged in a series of sermons looking at these shepherds. these shepherds who was working the night shift. And so we try to learn from them how we can serve in the night shift that we find ourselves. The times in which we live can be considered night. With all of the confusion, all of the anxiety, all of the nervousness, it is night in our world. And these shepherds can teach us how we can serve in this night season. And so we see in this passage, the focus in this passage is on the child, the babe that is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The baby is the star. Mary is a supporting actress. Joseph is a supporting actor. The shepherds, the angels, the wise men are all supporting actors. Jesus is the star. He is the one we are to look to. We are the one whose birthday we mark. How did the shepherds serve Jesus in their night season, and how can we serve Jesus in this night season? First, we shared with you the ambiance. 'Twas the night that Christ was born. He could have been born early one morning as the sun began to rise and set on Jerusalem. No, he was born at night. He could have been born in the noon hour while people were in hustle and bustle of their life, moving to and fro. He could have been born at a time of productivity, a time of growth, when everyone was getting along, a time of unity. No, he was born at night. At night, when the children of Israel was under oppression. At night, when the land was governed by a heathenistic government. It was at night when temple worship had fallen into decay. It was at night when the word of God was not even being proclaimed. It was night then, and it's night now. Dark was that night. Silent was that night. In that night, the shadows are bigger. In that night, the sounds are louder and sound closer. And that's why many of us have many mental issues. We have mental anxiety. We live in a world where we can stay connected in 10 different ways. You can connect with people by texting. You can connect with people by calling. You can connect with people through emails. You can connect with people on Facebook. And yet, in the midst of all of this, most of us still feel lonely and all alone in this world. It's night, and the shadows are deep and scary. But yet, like the ambiance was dark, when we see the audience, the shepherds was the audience. They were ones in which the message came to. And the shepherds, in the midst of this night season, they demonstrate for us some Christmas courage. They were fearless, but not foolish. They were afraid of the right thing. They were not afraid of the little things. They were not afraid of the predators. They were not afraid of the danger that could come to the sheep. They were there to protect the sheep. But when the angel showed up, they were greatly afraid. See, when God shows up, you ought to get scared. You ought to stop what you're doing. You ought to put a pause on that. You got to consider. If the word of God breaks into your life, you gotta consider, you gotta pause, figure out what the Lord is up to. They were fearless, but not foolish. They showed us some Christmas courage. But then not only did they show Christmas courage, they showed Christmas wisdom. They were smart, but not stubborn. shepherds were not welcome in town. They were outcasts. Their job dictated that they live out in the fields, and people don't like to live around people who live out in fields. People who live out in fields don't take care of themselves like people that live in home. They don't shower. They don't clean like people. And their job caused them to be a defilement. They caused them to be dirty, caused them to be outcasts. But yet when they heard the word, they said, let's go and see this. Let's go check this out. See, some people are stubborn. They keep doing the same thing over again, in season, out of season. They keep doing the same thing. Angel done appeared. They do the same thing. The sign done came. They do the same thing. That's stubbornness. The angel showed up to the shepherds, tell the word to them, and they changed their program. They said, let's go and see this thing. Let's go into the city. Then after they went and saw what it was, they went and shared with everyone the good news of what they had seen. We can learn from them some Christmas courage to be fearless, but not foolish. We can learn some Christmas wisdom to be smart, but not stubborn. But this morning we want to focus on the announcement. The announcement that the angel made. You get a sense, don't you, that this was no accident. That the angels wasn't just flying around and then suddenly they decided, let's go visit Bethlehem this night. There were some prior plans that went into it. The angels had to prepare. They had all of eternity to prepare for this moment. They had all of eternity to rehearse for this moment. They had all of eternity to decide who will be the one that speak. Who will be the one that says to the shepherds, fear not. Who will be the one to tell them, do not be afraid. They had all of eternity to plan for this. But there were some problems that God and God alone had to work out. See, one of the problems was that the baby was prophesied to be born of a virgin. But the virgin was in Nazareth. The baby had to be a descendant of David. The baby's daddy, the legal guardian of the baby, was the descendant, Joseph, of David, and he also lived in Nazareth. The problem is there's a prophecy in Micah that says that the baby ought to be born in Bethlehem. The mama is in Nazareth. How do I get the mama into Bethlehem just in time to have this baby? So he got a tap on the shoulder of Caesar and called Caesar to decide, I'm going to have a census. Once Caesar declared he was going to have a census, now Joseph and Mary has to travel to Bethlehem. And in their travels, while they are there in Bethlehem for the census, Mary has the baby. Listen. God has prearranged this event. This was not no accident. He moved heaven and earth so that this occurrence will occur. Not only did he do it on that day, he's doing it on this day. Brothers and sisters, God still has us in his plans. God still has us on his itinerary. God still has us on his agenda. God still has us on his radar. God is still making plans in our lives. God is moving resources around. God is moving personnel around. God is causing people to make decisions that will benefit him. This announcement was prearranged. They planned this. I know some of you may not keep up with this kind of stuff, but on TikTok, there's a video going around. Because I guess some people just found out that Rosa Parks' husband had a car. That's the shocking news. That's the shocking news. I'm telling you, they're upset. There are people that are upset because they always thought that Rosa Parks was just an accident. That her mark in history was just some incident that she got her feet was sore that day. They think that. So to find out that her husband had a car and that Rosa didn't need to ride the bus, but that Rosa was working with the NAACP and they kept trying to boycott something and Rosa kept saying, let's boycott the bus. And they were saying, we need somebody that would take a stand and be willing to go to jail for this. And even though Rosa had a car at home, she got on the bus in order to spark a revolution. And if Rosa and NAACP and Martin Luther King can plan a boycott, how much more can God plan the birth of his child? This child that's going to be fully human and fully God. This child that's going to have all the DNA that you and I have, but don't have all of the baggage that come with having a father. And the father bring all the sin with us, but he was sinless because he was born of a virgin and he had to have them meet up in Bethlehem. So this angel showing up in Bethlehem was no accident. They had planned it down through the years. But then listen to the announcement of the angel. The angel says to them, be not be afraid. Be not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, that right there kind of got me a little bit. And the reason is, if you're going to do a public announcement such as this, why do it with shepherds in the field? I mean, if you're going to make this public announcement, why not do it in Rome at the seat of power that can change the world, that at the power of armies and military might, that this babe was born in this military might? Well, what about Jerusalem? Military ain't your thing. Maybe the temple. Why not born in Jerusalem? He could have just foretold that to Micah. Tell Micah he'll be born in Jerusalem, the city of God, the holy city, David's city, the city of the temple of praise and worship. Why not Jerusalem? Why this little bitty town in Bethlehem? And the reason is quite simple. The reason is all of us can see ourselves in Bethlehem, but we don't all see ourselves in Rome. We can all see ourselves in Bethlehem, but we don't all see ourselves in Jerusalem. See, we don't always see ourselves as worthy of God's gift. We don't always see ourselves as deserving of God's gift. We don't always feel like we have earned the gift of God. But if you're from Bethlehem, you know it's not because of your good works. He didn't come to Bethlehem because of their education. He didn't come to Bethlehem because of their resource. He came to Bethlehem because it was in Bethlehem they would receive their king. When the shepherds, all of us was outside of the grace and love of God. It is the reason why he sent his only begotten son, because sin had gotten in the way. And it's in Bethlehem that we learn that all of us has a seat at the table. He says to all people, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, all people. The glory of God is for all. This audience, this shepherd, they make these announcements. But then the announcement contains simply two parts. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Then the announcing clerk leaves, and a multitude of angels appear. And the heavenly host praising God and saying, the first part is glory to God in the highest. The second part is, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The angel's response to the announcement. When the angel made the announcement, a host of angels came in response to that announcement. The announcement was simply a Savior is born. This problem with sin in the earth, this problem that has separated man from God down through the ages, this problem that's been on the heart of God through eternity is now resolved because the baby is born. The greatest problem that ever existed, God solved it with a child. And the angel's response to it is simply, glory to God. Listen, once they make the announcement that God has sent the child to be born, the Savior of the world, to save man from his sin, the only response to that is glory to God in the highest. Simply, all the glory goes to God. When we learn to give God all of the glory, then we become beneficiaries of the second part. Glory is just simply recognizing God in your day-to-day life. Recognizing that God woke you up this morning. God started you on your way. I remember when I was younger, my grandfather, a Pentecostal preacher, he used to always pray for the seeing in his eyes and the taste on his tongue and the hearing in his ears. And I was like, come on, Pop. I mean, those are called senses, man. You got to. He prayed for that. And he said, keep leaving, son. Keep living, son. Keep living. And so I woke up the other day and, Lord, thank you for the seeing in my eyes. Hearing in my ears. Lord, I just want to thank you. Because anything I have, I got to look back at what he gave me. You heard the story of man deciding that he didn't need God, told God, we've learned how to clone. We can do everything you do. So we don't need you anymore. We have learned how to clone. And God said, if that's your decision, so be it. Meet me on the hill and we'll create man together and see what goes on, how it goes. And meet him out there. God comes out there and man said, we're able to make man. And he said, all I need is some dust. And God said, well, you have to get your own dust. Even the dust that we have come from him. All that we have, that's why we got to give him all of the glory. See, some of our problems will be done away with if we stop trying to hold on to some of the glory. See, sometimes we just want some of the credit. We want some of the recognition. And we get upset when it goes to somebody else. We get upset when it looks like it ain't coming our way. But when you recognize that the glory belongs to God. And if Christmas is going to remind us of anything, it should remind us to give God the glory. Glory to God in the highest. And the benefit of that is peace. On earth, toward all men, toward all humanity, every man, woman, boy, and girl has peace. How much would you pay for peace? The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that this world can't give. I remember a few years ago, I had a coworker. It was after the towers. They was all in a panic. I was concerned about it. And I said, we still have to trust in the Lord. And I guess you remember the Sunday school training or service or something. And that brought peace to her mind. And so many of us, we have so much chaos. We have so much information. We know things around the world. Woke up this morning with something from Killeen. It was a shooting in Killeen. And it seems like it was just around the corner. It feels like it was on our block. It's on our street, on our drive. We hear something from California. It feels like it's right down the street. When we give God the glory, we receive peace. When we recognize that God handles it, that we can put it in his hands, that we can cast it over to him. We can, all these things that we can't figure out that are too wonderful for us to comprehend, we can give it all to him. You don't have to toss and turn at night. You can give it all to the Lord. You don't have to go through some of the strain that we go through. You can give it all to the Lord and have peace. Peace is the reward for the glory that we give. When we give God the glory, he gives peace to us. That's the Christmas announcement. That's the announcement that the angel made over 2,000 years ago. That's the announcement that the church has continued to announce Sunday after Sunday, year after year. We have announced that the baby has been born. The sacrifice was given by God to pay for our sin. And our only response, all we have to do is give God the glory. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all humanity. May God bless you and may God keep you. As the deacons and the ushers and the greeters come, we want to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. What a beautiful Sunday to give your life to the Lord. You can come as you are, come from where you are. All we ask is that you come. Amen. It was ours to extend. It's yours to accept or reject. May God bless you.